Welcome to another eBizQ podcast.
Hello, this is eBizQ's Peter Schoaf, and today I have the pleasure of speaking with James Taylor, who is the head of Decision Management Solutions and is the foremost thinker and writer on decision management. James has a new book coming out, Decision Management Systems, a practical guide to using business rules and predictive analytics, which we're going to discuss today, as well as talk about just general decision management and BPM. So first of all, James, thanks so much for joining me.
Well, it's a pleasure, Peter. I'm glad to be here.
So to get the ball rolling, where are we at with decision management and predictive analytics in a company today?
Well, it really varies, I have to say. In some industries, this whole idea that you should focus on decisions, use business rules and predictive analytics together is well established. If you go talk to a credit card issuer or someone else working in retail credit, then this is absolutely taken for granted. This is how you run your credit business. In other industries, much less so. The idea of systematizing their decisions, knowing what they are, is all still very new. And they're adopting business rules for specific projects. They might be doing predictive analytics in specific projects. But this idea that you could, you know, take control of decision-making within your organization, particularly these transactional decisions, is still a pretty new one. And I have to say, you know, most of the folks looking at predictive analytics are still focused on what I sometimes call predictive reporting. They're trying to see how they can embed predictive analytics in their current BI infrastructure, rather than saying, what are the new opportunities from predictive analytics in terms of automating and taking control of some of these decisions completely.
So then what would you say is the key for effective decision management for a company?
Well, I think the key is, you know, that the book has four principles in it, but I think the key one of the four is to begin with the decision in mind. You can only really build decision management systems, and I would argue only really take full advantage of business rules and of predictive analytics if you're really clear what your decisions are. And, you know, in particular, the sort of operational day-to-day decisions that you make in every transaction when you process a claim or you process a loan or you talk to a customer. And you have these very high volume decisions that are made in enormous numbers, and yet they're not on most companies' radar when it comes to thinking about decision making. When they think, I've got to improve decision making, they're thinking about executive decisions and management decisions. And so, you know, the key for effective decision management systems is really to say, gosh, these decisions that run the day-to-day business, they matter in the same way that our operational processes and our operational data matter. We have to have control of them. We have to know where they are, how they work, and we have to be able to improve them over time.
Interesting. Now, one of the big mantras for businesses today is customer service. So how does this directly help a company's customer service, would you say?
Well, that's a great point. And I think a lot of the energy behind decision management systems at the moment is really in this customer service, customer treatment arena. Because if you think about it, every time you interact with a customer, you have to decide what you're going to say to them. You have to decide what offer you're going to make. You have to decide what data you're going to ask them for. You have to decide if now is a good time to try and get them to sign up for your newsletter. Whatever it is, you've got these decisions that have to be made, and they have to be made in large numbers because you make them about every customer. And they're made typically by people in your retail stores, people in your call center, by your website, by your automated email system. And the reality is that your customers will respond to the decisions you make as though you made it just for them. They don't know that you're making the same decision for everybody else. When your IVR system plays a menu list of options that don't seem relevant, the customer just responds to that very negatively. And so this idea that you have to make each of these decisions about how you interact with a customer explicitly, take control of those decisions, and use a decision management system so that everyone and everything that interacts with your customers is doing so in a way that reflects your sort of company strategy about your customers, I think is tremendously powerful when it comes to customer service. And you see more and more talk these days of customer next best action, or how do I bring together customer service and marketing so I make coherent decisions? And that's what it's about when you come to customer service. It's about the decisions that you and the people who work for you make when they interact with customers.
Well, I could definitely see the advantage of that for a business. Now, how would you design a system essentially with a decision in mind?
Well, that's a great question. And what I find is that you have to start by typically looking at a business process or looking at a system and starting to walk through it and say, well, are we really interacting with somebody here? Are we really moving data? Are we really capturing new information? Are we really just deciding what we're going to do next? And gradually focus in on those decisions where you're making a choice, a selection from a range of options. So you say, gosh, at this point in the process, I could do one of a bunch of things, and I have to pick which one I'm going to do. Well, that's a decision point. And then having got that high-level decision, which is often something fairly generic, like, you know, what should I do about this claim, or what action should I take with this customer? You have to decompose that a little. It's just like, you know, it's one thing to say I've got an order to cash process. It's another thing entirely to decompose that into its steps. Well, it's a little bit like that with decision-making. You know, it's not terribly hard to find those high-level decisions that you make in the middle of this process. But to understand them and to build a system for them, you have to sort of decompose them and say, well, I can't make that decision until I've made this other smaller decision. So gradually, you iterate through that process, understanding what the sort of decision-making elements are that go into the decision you've got in your process. And then you can start to say, these bits of the decision, those are the bits I want to build in a decision management system. Because often, you know, the high-level one is not something people are 100% comfortable automating. I mean, give you an example. If you're an insurance company and you underwrite commercial insurance, and I say, why don't we automate the how should we underwrite this commercial insurance policy decision, most insurance companies are going to say no. They're going to say, I want to show that to an underwriter. But if I decompose that decision, then there's sub-decisions like, do we have all the information we need about this location? Does the location need an inspection? How risky is this kind of business in general? And those smaller decisions are often much easier for someone to say, oh yeah, well, the system could do that bit. And so you have to sort of break down these decisions a little bit so you can start to see which bits make sense to go into a decision management system for your organization. Because every organization is different in its tolerance for automation in this area.
That makes sense. Now, I'm hearing some similarities between decision management and process management. So can you sort of elaborate on how does decision management work with process management in a company?
Sure. So, I mean, my view is that decisions and processes are peers. They're two distinct things that you should have control of and that you should have, just as you should have a model of your business processes, you should have a model of your business decisions. And that the reality is that processes, at many points in those processes, you have to make a decision. And that one of the challenges we have with business process is that the business process environment we gave our business users was in many ways the first time they had a way to look at their business and understand it. And so, you know, that's their hammer, and now everything looks like a nail. So, you know, part of what we have to do is say, well, you know, there's these decisions too, because they've got wrapped into these business processes, and they're making the business process more complex, and they're making it harder to change because they're not the same as a business process. And so if you can extract those decisions and say, no, I've got this decision, I'm going to model that and manage that as a thing, and I've got this business process that needs the answer that that decision is going to give it. It's going to need that question answered that's represented by that decision. Then I simplify my process. It's much more streamlined. I'm much more likely to get sort of straight through processing because when I get to a certain point, I can simply call the decision management system and say, can you answer this question for me? Get an answer back and keep going. So by considering them as peers, you can simplify existing processes and make it a lot easier to build fairly linear, straight through processes. And there's a lot of, you know, another good one is, you know, you talk to someone, they say they have a standard process, but they have a couple of hundred local exceptions. You hear this a lot from big ERP shops. Oh, I've got a standard global process for supplier onboarding. I've got a couple of hundred local exceptions. Almost always, those local exceptions are not really to the process. They're to decision-making. And so if you separate out the decision and encapsulate the rules about these local variations inside a decision, then the process becomes actually genuinely a single global process. So there's a lot of synergies between the two, but you have to think of decisions and processes as peers working together sort of collaboratively to run your business.
Gotcha. So what do you see ahead for decision management?
Well, I think the business rules community has very much decided this is a better way of talking about business rules at an automation level. And so I think you're going to see it become the norm, essentially, in business rules sort of technology circles to talk about decisions and managing decisions. And I think you'll start to see some of the repository tools and the simulation tools and so on that are in those products reflect a more sort of decision-centric mindset. But I think the big interest is going to be in analytics. You know, there's a lot of energy around analytics at the moment. Big data and analytics and big analytics and advanced analytics and all sorts of other kinds of analytics. And I think there's a lot of us in the sort of business, and we look at the stories about who's been successful with predictive analytics. And many of them, almost all of them, I think, are successful because they can apply those predictive analytics to the way they run their business every day. They're not getting one big aha moment from their analytics. They're getting improvement every day in how they interact with customers, how they manage risk, how they manage fraud. And so I think that realization is going to spread as more people get interested in predictive analytics. And that's going to make them realize that it does no good to be able to segment your customers or predict which ones are going to churn or which ones might like which offer if your systems don't allow you to differentiate how you treat them. And so you're going to have to build decision management systems in order to give yourself the ability to decide differently about every customer. It does no good to say, I should treat Peter differently from James. That's what my analytics tells me, if your systems treat every customer the same. So I think that need to use analytics is going to drive a lot more people to say, I've got to start building decision management systems so that I can use what my analytics are telling me.
Well, that makes an incredible amount of sense, James. This is eBizQ's Peter Schoaf speaking with James Taylor. And just a reminder, make sure you check out James's book, Decision Management Systems, A Practical Guide to Using Business Rules and Predictive Analytics. Thanks a lot, James. Wish you best with all this stuff coming up.
Thanks very much, Peter. You too.
This has been an eBizQ podcast.